Hello, hello, and welcome to Your Life Against the Grain, the show where we interview those who take risks and accomplish only what some dream. Scott and Abby here. Here we go.
Welcome to the show today. Justin Bell is with us. We're excited to have him here. How you doing today, Justin?
Hey, I'm doing great, Scott. It's so good to be with you and Abby.
Thanks. We love having you.
Looking forward to it. So who is Justin Bell? Well, Justin is the CEO of Right Hand LLC. This is a company that specializes in Amazon FBA selling and consulting. Justin also has another business. He's doing so many different things. But after spending 7 years in the friend zone, God brought him and his lovely wife, Lauren, to the end zone, and they have been married since 2009. They have four children, crazy children, Eden, Asher, Isaiah, and Jordan, and they live in Los Angeles, California area. Justin also has a podcast, which is called Faith Plus Biz, where they discuss how to win your market without losing your soul. It's a community of kingdom-minded entrepreneurs who believe it's possible to have both vocational vibrance and spiritual solace. So we look forward to talking to Justin today. And how is everything going out there in California today, Justin?
Going really well here. Going really well. As I was sharing with you guys, I mean, it's literally the most small talk thing ever to talk about the weather, but I'm so excited that today it's like the first day in forever that it's raining. So, wow. Which sounds funny from a California boy, you know, being excited about that, but I love the rain.
Absolutely. Me too.
So to kick things off, you know, we want to go into the deep questions. So one thing we have for you is, what is the biggest motivation that you have had on your journey to live your life against the grain? So owning multiple successful businesses, sharing your faith with the public through your podcast, through your actions. We just want to know, what's been your motivation?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, as I think about that, I have this really strong memory in my mind from when I was probably about 15 or 16 years old. We had to relocate at that time, and my dad was a business owner. He was a pool contractor, which I ended up getting into that as well. That was my first business that I ever started and had. And anyway, what I would do is I talked my parents into letting me do what was called independent studies, which is basically like I'd show up, meet with the teacher, and she'd let me go and do all my homework, you know. And that was like, that's kind of the first, you know, signal, I think, to me that I was like not made for the standard, 9 to 5 that I had, you know, wanted to do this whole thing. But anyway, so I didn't, you know, go to school during the day. And so I often would ride in with him and, you know, just work with him. And because I just loved spending time with my dad. And I just remember this one day, we would have this hour commute when we would go, you know, to where his business was. And I remember he all of a sudden started getting really philosophical. And my dad and I are both introverts, so we would often just sit there like in silence for a long time. But he got into this really philosophical conversation, and he's like, was showing me, you know, looking at all the cars, and he was like, everybody on this freeway, like, they're all just doing the same thing every single day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all, you know, driving to work, and then they're going to drive home, and they're going to do this over and over and over and over again. And it was like this moment that I saw like the rat race, you know, for what it was. Yeah. And it was just such a strong, you know, visual, you know, sight. And I just remember, you know, in that moment, there was something that kind of just snapped in me. And I was like, I don't want to just like live this, you know, standard life that is so normal, where I'm just doing what everybody else is doing. And, you know, I don't know if that was a, that moment was a decision or if it was just, you know, painting a picture of what really was, you know, happening. But I don't know. I just always kind of saw things differently and didn't want to just have, you know, like a, just like a normal life. It just kind of drove me crazy. So
that's great. How your dad painted it forward, that picture that he's like, do you want to be like those people right there? I mean, you wanted a different lifestyle and you created it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like, and even like going more into that, you know, the sad thing was it was just a couple of years later that he ended up, you know, losing his business because of, you know, the economic climate that was going on at the time. And I watched my dad, who had been self-employed for, you know, 25 plus years, all of a sudden have nothing to show for it. You know, they lost their house. He lost his business. Mm-hmm. And it was like the combination of like that moment and, you know, what I saw him go through where I was like, man, I want to experience, you know, something different.
Wow. That is a great story, Justin. I think I live in a place that has less traffic than you, but also has a lot of traffic, which is Phoenix. And so LA traffic is notorious, but, you know, I've actually had the exact same thought process as I often don't have to be involved in the traffic, but when I do, I'm just like, these people seem to be so unhappy, numb, and it's just kind of this, you know, like following the crowd thing. And I just don't see that they have a whole lot of fulfillment in what they're doing. So when you say that seeing your dad go through that, you didn't want, did you not want what he went through, or did you not want what everybody else was doing with the 9 to 5?
I think in one way, you know, I was attracted to the fact that he was self-employed, you know, and a business owner, because he was, you know, living a little bit of a different story than everyone, you know, else on that road. But then at the same time, you know, there was this other part of me just seeing what he went through, wanting to, you know, be able to build a business that would last and, yeah, you know, would be able to, and, you know, be successful. And I mean, my dad's really hard worker, and, you know, was a really great businessman in a lot of ways. Yeah, just seeing those things, it made me sad, you know, for him, because I felt like he deserved to have the success, just because he worked so hard. And I think just seeing a man who's has probably the best work ethic I've ever seen in my life, and then not to be able to succeed still, it just caused me to say, gosh, I just want to look at this differently.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, Justin, that we really haven't talked about, but is on this journey, is that, you know, for many years, you're a youth pastor, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And so, can you just share us a little bit about the, you know, just kind of the catalyst for moving into what you're doing, and the situation and the challenge that led you to pivot in the way you're doing, and just, you know, some of the emotions and the things that went on in that story, in that chapter of your life.
Yeah, totally. So, I served in vocational ministry as a pastor for about 13 years at a non-denominational church here in Southern California. And it was something that, you know, I really was so passionate about, you know, became a Christian. Actually, right around that time that I was on that freeway trip with my dad, and just, you know, felt a call in the ministry. And I always had these two passions of ministry, but then I also loved, you know, entrepreneurship and leadership. And I just had always, you know, seen entrepreneurship as kind of the side thing, and ministry, you know, was to be the focus. So, you know, I would have, you know, various businesses kind of going on the side, but the majority of my focus was, you know, really in ministry work. One thing that it did really help me with is that because the majority of my time was going to my ministry work, I was forced to start to build some of the foundations of what it looks to scale a business. because, you know, what's the quickest way to, you know, to be able to, you know, scale your business? It's to make it impossible for you to be involved, you know, because too often, you know, when we're growing a business, we want to keep jumping in, you know, and that's what can really stop a business from growing. But anyway, so I was, you know, serving in ministry, loving it, just really appreciating the opportunity. And, you know, unfortunately, just started dealing with some pretty crazy health issues, some neurological issues that definitely, you know, spurred on, you know, mental health issues, you know, depression, you know, as a result of it. And because of those physical issues, you know, actually had multiple doctors tell me that I would probably never work another day for the rest of my life. And, you know, at the time, you know, literally just like 29, 30 years old, like, a, you know, not very old, and have a young family, you know, then three kids. Now we have four kids. And I was just in this place of like, number one, I was just having, you know, a real, I think, identity crisis, because for me, I felt like it was my purpose and my identity to be, you know, in full-time ministry. And this was, number one, a catalyst for me to really start to, you know, question that and revisit, you know, some of those areas. And I really uncovered a lot of, you know, there was a lot of spiritual unhealth where I thought it was unspiritual to be an entrepreneur, but it was spiritual to be a pastor. So the only way I could be spiritual was to spend my time being a pastor. But at the same time, I was like, the entrepreneur inside of me was like, a little kid with ADD running all over the place, like freaking out, you know, like, let me out, you know, and was just in this place. And that whole experience really, you know, number one, caused me to really wrestle with, you know, what is my calling, and really started to realize that, you know what, like, I want to be an entrepreneur. And I also, you know, love ministry and teaching the Bible. And that's ultimately what led me to start the Faith Plus Biz podcast, where I'm like, I'm going to talk about both of these, you know, subjects together. But it's crazy how many times in the New Testament, Jesus, a lot of times we miss this. I heard this a couple of years ago. One of the most common questions he asks is, what do you want?
Yeah,
it's just crazy that he like would ask us that, you know, because he actually wants us to live out our authentic true selves, you know. So that was like the first thing, you know, that it was a catalyst for. But number two, you know, kind of like when I was, you know, busy working most of my day and I had to figure out other solutions for my business, now I had to figure out a way that I could, you know, make money without, you know, using a bunch of my time up to do so. And so, you know, I figured that, you know, to go from pastoring to being a drug dealer probably wasn't a good idea. So started looking into, yeah, good. I'm glad you affirmed that. but
amen, brother. You
know, we'll edit that out later. Don't worry. No, just kidding.
it's okay. but, you know, it caused me to, you know, really start asking like, what am I going to do? You know? And, you know, started doing just a bunch of, you know, research and, had stumbled into Amazon FBA. And what really made me fall in love with that was, the ability to be able to scale, you know, a business easily, and cheaply without sacrificing, you know, quality. You know, and I know we were talking about this a little bit before, and, you know, Scott, I know you've had a lot of experience in business, and, you know, you know more than probably any of us, you know, about scaling and some of those challenges, that go with it. But it's a quality that, you know, it's an issue that a lot of entrepreneurs, really face in their journey. Because, you know, in the beginning, it's all about clients, you know, like you want to get clients or business, you know, whatever that looks like for you. But then it ultimately gets to a place where it's like, you know, I've got to hire more people, you know, to grow this thing. But what ends up happening with so many entrepreneurs is they end up with this nightmare of a huge staff, and it's, you know, they're not really making any more money than they were before, yet they have the headache of all these people, and they're like, what am I doing here? You know, what am I, you know, dealing with here? And so, you know, looking at Amazon, finding out that, you know, with FBA,
can you just explain, Justin, sorry to interrupt, what FBA means for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So FBA stands for Fulfilled by Amazon. And so when you're selling on Amazon, you basically have the choice, do I want to ship my own orders, which would be called FBM, Fulfilled by Merchant, or do I want to have Amazon fulfill all my orders, FBA? And so what that means is Amazon will store your products at their warehouse, and anytime somebody buys, you know, the product off of Amazon, their staff puts it in a box and ships it to someone, and it also becomes a Prime item. So what that looks like with what we do in our business is we do something called private labeling, where we'll have, you know, a warehouse in United States or China will make our product for us, put it in our box with our company's logo on it, and then it goes straight to Amazon's warehouse. So it's a completely decentralized business model. Somebody else is making the product, someone else is bringing it to Amazon. Amazon's then sending it to people, you know, when they buy it. And if someone returns it, Amazon takes it back. So it was just like this perfect, you know, solution to be able to scale without losing quality, you know, without it being tied to my time. That's kind of nutshell.
You know, for our listeners, I just want to say that, you know, you said a lot there, Justin. There were some huge nuggets in there. And one of the first ones was when you were talking about, and I think as we just look back in it, we say something really, really rough and tough happened to you. I mean, to have your ability to work look like it's being taken away from you, doing something that you felt that you were called to be doing, and not that you're not still doing that, but it just looks very different. And so I love that you use the word catalyst a lot, and I love that word, because if you weren't able to accept what had been given to you in those moments, I think you would have stayed in a place of maybe some bitterness, a victim mentality. And yet here we are moving forward. You've moved through this, and I know there's still challenges, brother, but look what you're doing because of the struggles that happened, because of very big life-changing things happened to you. And so I just want to, you know, give you kudos for not giving up, staying in the game. And just as a testimony of how beautiful it is to see when, if God allows this to happen to you and you take it and create something even bigger and better than it was before, a new Justin has shown up. For me, that is just, it's just a beautiful story of how this all happens. And I have personal experience with trying to scale a business. My wife and I own a hotel. I wanted to open up another one in another city. And it sounded like the way, the path, the light was pulling me in. But I was already going crazy with the first hotel. I can not imagine what it would have been to have another one with the headaches that go with the first one that I already knew. So that whole idea of being able to scale without it stealing your soul and your life and your sleep is, that's key. So I hope you guys are hearing what Justin's talking about, because he's just opening the door a little bit, but those are deep, deep concepts for any entrepreneur that has struggled with the balance that we try to find in our business and our personal life. And so, you know, that really leads into the next question that we asked Justin. And Abby, go ahead and, you know.
Yes. And I did want to say, Justin, just hearing your story, you are totally a champion. And it just made my heart so happy to hear. Not that you got. Yeah. Thank you for just being vulnerable and sharing that. Just getting knocked down physically. And I know emotionally too, because you were dealing with a lot of different, maybe spiritual battle, emotional, physical battles coming at you. And to take that and peel back layers and heal, let Jesus heal yourself and not grow bitter towards God, but actually let that be the boost that you need to get closer to Christ. And it's just so cool to see your story, how you're integrating your faith with your business, you're sharing your message with the public, you're being just a great leader in all aspects. So it's just wonderful to hear. And that
thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I just say too that I definitely want to make it clear that there were plenty of bitter days along the way, and you know, definitely plenty of struggle. You know, it's it was tough, and it gave me a lot of insight, honestly, into seeing when people have these various, you know, struggles. I used to look at people that, you know, were quote disabled in some way, and I would just judge them. You know, I would just say, oh gosh, you know, maybe they didn't take care of themselves, or maybe this, or and it's, you know, it's a lot like in Jesus's day. You know, people would ask, did they sin or did their parents sin?
Yeah.
Jesus would say, well, neither of them sinned, but God allowed this so that he would be glorified, you know?
Man, that's
and,
awesome.
And it gives you insight, you know? So anyways, I just wanted to add that in, Abby.
Yeah, right on. And you talked about emotional health, and we wanted to know, what role does that play in your life today?
Yeah, that's, gosh, it plays such a big role, and you know, I honestly feel like it continues, you know, to be, you know, something that can be a challenge. But you know, I think really one of the big things that I've started to practice is really doing what the scriptures talk about with taking your thoughts captive, but part of that I never realized for so long was it means that you have to actually understand your thoughts and what the underpinnings of them are, you know, because for so long when I would read that verse, you know, I imagine that, you know, it's like this little kid with a pop gun, you know, just sitting there trying to shoot off every bad thought, you know, that comes up. And what tends to happen is it starts to drive a person crazy, you know, when you approach your thought life like that, where, you know, really what it looks like is recognizing and observing, you know, the thoughts and naming them, you know, for what they are. And then that allows you to, you know, surrender them, but not overly judging them, you know, because we can get in a place of, you know, maybe dealing with anxiety. And if you just say, you know, gosh, I'm not supposed to have anxiety, I'm taking this captive, I got to get rid of this thing, it gives you more anxiety, you know. But interestingly, when you just name it and you allow it to be there, and then surrender it and don't overly judge it, then it's like, interesting, we get so freed from it. And I had a, you know, I have a really great therapist. I still often go to him. He's a Christian and works, you know, usually with just pastors. And he talks about all the time from the book of Psalms, this concept of, you know, owning but not enthroning our emotions. You know, in other words, you know, as you read through the Psalms, you see that David's really honest about, you know, what he's feeling, and the psalmists are really honest about what they're feeling. But ultimately, they're not seeing, you know, their emotion as their master. They're seeing, you know, God as their master. So I think that balance is huge. And, you know, gosh, what a, you know, I can't think of many more positions being more challenging than being an entrepreneur. You're alone, you're running, you're against the grain. Everyone thinks you're crazy, you know, so it's making you think you're crazy too.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, you're dealing with challenges. It's like, you have to have a strong, mental and emotional game, to be able to survive as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. And I love the tie you made in with David and Psalms. I was actually just reading how he was crying out day and night to God and just being totally raw with God. And that is such a beautiful thing because he's here for us. Like, why would we not take advantage of the blessing God's given us by crying out? I'm sure there's nights you guys on this path of entrepreneurship where you want to cry out day and night because it can be a lot on your plate.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Are you tired of being in the rat race? Are you tired of trading your time for money? Why is somebody else in control of your retirement? At Wealth Journey, we believe in challenging the status quo of the conventional way of managing money. We believe it's time for you to start winning. Your free 30-minute consultation is waiting for you today. Give me a call at 480-619-2559. That's 480-619-2559. Your success is what we do best. Now back to your life against the grain.
We all have struggles, yes, but at the end of the day, you are rocking it. So we want to know some daily habits that you can share with our audience that have been game changers. So we're talking morning routines, maybe mindset shifts, diet changes, you name it. We're ready for it.
Okay. Well, I'll just kind of go rapid fire with this.
Awesome.
So yeah, I know. Thank God. You know, the pastor, he's just talking nonstop. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we'll cut it off. Just kidding.
oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah, some of those, daily habits, definitely the taking the thoughts captive, like I said before, on the physical side of things, intermittent fasting has been a real game changer for me.
Preach.
Just with my mental focus and with, my overall, health and wellness, it's just been a game changer. Not to mention that, when you're hustling and getting work done, not having the distraction of constantly needing all these breaks for, meals, it really gets you a lot of time back, when you're not doing that all day. And so I wait until, the end of the day, to eat. And so that's one thing that's huge. I also love cold therapy. So I take cold showers. That's another thing physically that I really enjoy. Not only because of
come on now, just you enjoy alert. That.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah, it's not like a single guy trying to honor God thing. Like it's I definitely like it.
Those preacher I didn't jokes. Always like it.
I know. I'm
coming know, I'm out. No, just kidding. Yeah, we love them.
PG-13 preacher jokes. but that's part of it. Like the mental clarity, but also like there's something. Like so interesting mentally about your body and your mind are literally saying, stop, what are you doing? Don't go into that, freezing cold water, right now, don't do it. And you just tell yourself, you know what, this is going to be fine. And I'm actually going to enjoy this right now.
Wow.
And it's amazing how like, I would, if that ever happened before, like I randomly got thrown into like, cold water, I would freak out. And I was amazed at how, when I approached it with that mentality that, there was so much of a mind game there where I was making myself freak out because of the thoughts I was thinking before the experience. So I think, that whole conversation about taking your thoughts captive, right. It's amazing that experience has been a real good trainer for me, in that kind of in that same frame. And so another thing that I do all the time is I look at my business as a game. I'm an older millennial, but I am still millennial, so it means I grew up with Nintendo constantly. And so seeing it as a game has really, helped me to enjoy it, so much more when I start to feel overwhelmed, and just seeing it as, I'm trying to beat this game, right now it's been a really helpful habit. And then the final thing I would say which is the opposite of what I was saying with not taking breaks to eat. But it is good to take breaks, you know, as an entrepreneur, because it's so easy to be, you know, on all the time. So to take those breaks and to have fun, which, you know, I don't know, there's, I know some people, you know, are maybe combating feeling lazy and wanting to work, you know, harder. But I think most people, especially most entrepreneurs, if anything, are maybe too driven, and we're not as effective, you know, when we don't rest and we don't play. So it's a, you know, that balance for sure.
Are you still playing Super Smash?
Oh yeah, I play that. I play that one sometimes with my kiddos.
Okay, I just had to dig it up.
I still play to the Nintendo for sure.
Sweet, yeah, had to definitely.
You millennials.
I know he's hanging on to that title by 6 months.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny. I always get like nervous when people ask about games because I feel like a nerd, but I actually always have loved farming games, which people are like, I wish I was the guy who is into like the cool shooting game or whatever, but I love the process of, it's kind of like a business. You're buying seeds and you're, you know, selling it. Yeah. And so, but it is. Yeah.
Ringing that cowbell.
Yeah. Ring that cowbell.
Hey, you know, just a couple thoughts again on some of those habits that you're talking about, Justin. You know, taking your thoughts captive, it almost feels like in every one of those examples of the things that you do that give you life and make you sharp and bring your best, really, in many ways, had to do with your thought process, your mindset. And, you know, even just gamifying business, that again is taking your thoughts captive and using your thoughts in a way, or leveraging your thoughts in a way that's helpful for you. So, again, just, I hope y'all are hearing what Justin's saying, because these are just really very powerful, things that he's talking about. So thanks, Justin, for sharing those things and letting us look into a little bit about what your life looks like.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to share those things.
So the next question we have for you, Justin, what we like to talk about is, you know, what maybe just one book or several books that come to your mind, what they have, you know, if you're to say, if you're talking to a good friend and he or she said, you know, what's the best book you read lately? You know, what would you say, or what multiple books?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So here's what I would say. The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber is an amazing book to think about scaling and building a long-term, you know, business where you can replicate yourself and scale and grow your business. Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, who is, you know, he founded Nike. And so it's his autobiography, essentially, of how he founded that company. Learning about the entrepreneur's journey and seeing the ups and downs and how many times he wanted to quit and throw it in the towel. I mean, that book is just phenomenal. And, you know, as a side note, learning about cash flow too is amazing. It's amazing how there were times where he was literally making millions of dollars a year and could barely pay his rent because of cash flow issues. And then the final thing I would say is Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, who, you know, recently passed away. But he was the founder of and CEO of Zappos, which was acquired by Amazon. That book is amazing when you think about customer service, understanding the customer mindset. That's an amazing third book that I would recommend.
Awesome.
Love it. And we know you are the Amazon selling expert, ninja, whatever you want to call it. You know what's going on. So we want to know how you can guide people into becoming an Amazon selling expert like yourself. So what tools will you give them if they want to learn how you do what you do?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I'm aspiring to be an expert. I appreciate the kind words.
Nick Unsworth says you
so
are.
Much. Okay, well, I'm not going to argue with Nick then.
No, you don't.
Yeah. So what I would say about, you know, Amazon and how you can succeed, I really think it comes down to understanding what products are successful and understanding, you know, the laws of supply and demand, and knowing how to, you know, bring into the market something that customers, you know, really, really want. It's almost like, I don't know why this just popped in my head, but think about when the iPhone, you know, first came out and there was, you know, the App Store. I don't even know if it was called that back then. But, you know, when there were only 10 apps, you could, you know, come up with just kind of a whatever app and you'd be one of 10. So you'd do great, right? Yeah. But the more that it's grown, you know, you have to, you know, obviously be able to cater to what people actually want to be able to stand out. And the same is true with Amazon. And, you know, there was a real, you know, gold rush to Amazon years ago. When it used to be, I joke with, you know, my clients that it was like, if you could fog a mirror, you could do well on Amazon. And, you know, people would launch, you know, fidget spinners and all sorts of things. And yeah, they would just be making, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month. And, you know, those days are definitely over now. But the narrative that a lot of people have now is, oh, now it's just too late, you know, to get into it. And it's, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, Amazon, year over year, quarter four, 2019 to 2020, you know, they grew by a time and a half, you know, their revenue. And it's just, it's crazy how quickly they're growing. I just read that they're growing at a rate that is 5 times faster than Walmart, which is a huge company that's, oh, wow, that's always growing. But, you know, Amazon is, I mean, it's a huge company, and that... But what most people don't see is that income that's growing, it's really to sellers. You know, people who are selling on Amazon are creating that revenue. So there's a huge opportunity to be able to be a part of it. But you have to understand, you know, how to find a profitable product is like the first, you know, probably the most important thing. I mean, there's a lot more, you know, we could talk about when it comes to selling on Amazon, but you know, that's really, I guess probably the main, thing that I would really, say, and there's a lot of great, you know, tools out there. One that I use is called, Viral Launch. If you go to virallaunchpro.com, you can get my exclusive discount. And,
nice.
This program, it essentially helps you to see, data of these different products. How much money are they making per month? You know, a lot of other really helpful information. So if you can find, you know, products that have high demand in low competition, you're setting, you know, the framework to be able to succeed, on Amazon.
So it sounds like it's not too late for anyone to get into Amazon, and you don't have to have a ton of product lines to be successful in the business, because you really need to only know what products will sell and maybe focus on certain markets.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, and you can start off just with you know, with one product. And what I, you know, have talked about on this episode is just one of many models of how you can sell on Amazon. Because it is an open market. People resell and do something called retail arbitrage, where, you know, they'll go into Walmart, you know, find out that an item's on clearance, they'll buy 100 of them and they'll resell them on Amazon. And used, you know, items are really popular actually on Amazon. And people will get things from garage sales and they'll resell, you know, those products. So you don't have to, you know, create your own, you know, product to make money on Amazon. But I will say, in my experience, that is by far the most profitable way to run a business on Amazon, in a scalable way, you know, because it's, we only have so many hours in the day to run down to Walmart and hope we find a good deal.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, Justin, you and I have been friends for a bit, and I've really enjoyed to see some of your success numbers in the business. And, you know, it's very impressive. And I know that all I'm seeing is that when you tell me about some of the numbers, is that's the good stuff. But what goes on behind the scenes is not easy. And in order to produce that, it takes some work. But I know that you're having success in your own business, and you're wanting to teach and coach and mentor others that are interested in that. What's the best way for people to, you know, to reach out or understand if this is a good fit for them?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for those kind words. Best way to, connect with me would be, you could follow me on Instagram. My handle is @IamJustinBell, on Instagram. And then also on my site, officialjustinbell.com, I'll usually have, you know, whatever my latest, you know, free training will be, you know, up there. Like, we have a free challenge coming up where we're going to teach people how to find profitable products on Amazon, called our Launch on Amazon Challenge. But that's the best place to go, where you can, you know, get those first steps of, you know, learning about selling on Amazon. So that's officialjustinbell.com.
Great. Sweet. And we are just so happy we could hang with you today, hear about your story, and see how you are rocking it. And we love how you're spreading value, truth, and we would love to connect in the future and check out your free Amazon class.
Thank you so much, Abby and Scott. It's such a pleasure to be on here with you guys. I appreciate you guys and what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin.
Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen on. Thank you, and keep living your legacy. Bye-bye.